Ladies, I just want to go ahead and get us started. I'm so glad y'all are here tonight. Thanks for coming out in the cold and pausing your group and coming and hanging out with us. I think y'all are going to really enjoy the night. Our two speakers tonight are two women who are on staff, Karen Gilmore and Cheryl Flanagan. I didn't even really realize this, that they have their kids are exactly the same age and are good friends. Karen has been married to her college sweetheart, John, for 23 years, and they have three children. Olivia is 16, Jake is 14, and they added their son Alex to the family in 2012 when he was 16. He's now 22 and out on his own and doing very well. Karen was raised going to church in New Jersey, but she didn't truly walk with the Lord until her early 30s when John, her husband, had a radical transformation. Part of their faith journey includes the loss of employment, all their savings, close friendships, and family relationships. But part of their redemption has been finding true community at Perimeter. A new son who has succeeded despite the odds, and most of all, a deep faith in the Lord's provision in all aspects of their lives. She is the director of our nursery and special events and has enjoyed being on staff for over 5 years. She was a stay-at-home mom for 10 years, including time homeschooling. Oh, my gosh. And had no desire to go back into the workforce, but the Lord had another plan. And she is grateful to work at Perimeter as it allows her to use her gifts for glory, for his glory, but also keep her family a priority. So she is, y'all should just come and watch Karen work. She's amazing. I don't know how she manages all the different aspects of the nursery and special events and all the people that work for and all the people that volunteer. It's amazing. She does a great job. And y'all, I didn't know this about Cheryl. Cheryl's been attending Perimeter for 25 years, and she met her husband here. I didn't know they met here, but they did. I think that's so sweet. They have two children. Heather is 16 and a sophomore at Norcross. Alex is 14 and an eighth grader at Perimeter. She grew up in the church but came to a much deeper understanding of God's grace when she came to Perimeter. Like Karen, she's gone through some deep valleys, which has helped her build her faith even stronger. She re-entered the workforce after her husband lost his job and has been serving in our HR department here for over 10 years. So please welcome them. They have a lot of mom experience to share with you. And they are two very wise women. I really like sitting back and watching people. And so they're two people that always catch my eye for their integrity and the wisdom and humility that they both have. I just think a lot of these women. So please welcome them.
I am on. Good. Thank you, Cindy. That, listening to that made me sound old. It's like, gosh. Anyway, we wanted to just show you pictures. We were thinking most of you would have older children. So some of our talk is geared more toward the preteen and teen years, but we'll kind of address everything and whatever questions you have. We'll kind of keep this informal. But there we are. We just want to show you one when our kids were little and then kind of how they are today. Hey, Melissa. So that's us at a wedding, my cousin's wedding in 2010. So, and then that's Alex at his high school graduation, which was a huge accomplishment for him because he'd only been here about 2 years. 2.5 years when he graduated. And there we are a couple of years ago, but that was the best picture I could find of with all of us for our Christmas card with our dog, Katie. So
that's all right. And I'm Cheryl Flanagan. These are my precious kids when they were so little and cute. They're still cute, but not so little anymore. Now they are, this is this year in the springtime, 16 and 14. And there's my family. That's my husband, Peter, who Gail said that we did meet here at Perimeter. And we've been married for over 20 years now. And there's our two children. So
so I just kind of wanted to know, we were just thinking a little bit, if you could kind of just give us a little feedback of, I know some of you, but kind of the ages of your children, because you all look really young.
Way younger than we are.
Man, it goes fast. Okay. You want to start, Sarah?
Sure. I have one
Oh, 3 weeks, great.
At 12 and
10. Great. So did you want to talk a little bit about the connecting?
No, you can go ahead.
Okay. I mean, the main thing with connecting with kids is just like any other relationship, obviously. When mine were little, and it's easy, and also I'll just make a side note, the whole thing with Alex, I'm just kind of park him over here because I didn't raise him, so I'm just talking about my biological kids just because there are other issues with all that. But when mine were little, I did stay at home, which helped, but just I think with little ones, it's playing. You know, they trust you immediately because, of course, you're meeting their every need, which frankly fed my ego because I was needed all the time, and that is kind of nice after a while when they're, you know, you just get that unconditional love and response from them. And as they get older, you have to kind of let go of that a little bit. But I just remember kind of leaving the dishes in the sink, and I like a clean house, but leaving the vacuuming and just entering into their imaginative world. And we still kind of laugh today about the games we would play. Jake was this tiger, Freddie, and Olivia was this little girl, Emma, and we would just have adventures all over the house. And you know, I remember being tired and just jumping on the furniture and off the furniture and on the floor and in the bed and under the covers. And I'm thinking, okay, can Freddie take a nap? Isn't he tired? But what we talk about, I mean, I almost tear up because there are such fun memories. And he remembers playing. And he said recently, he said, I really thought under the covers of your bed was this whole other world. And I could see things. And it was so real to me. And I thought, oh, I'm thrilled, you know. And we would just, we played a lot. I homeschooled, so we were together a lot or with other families. We did a ton of field trips. I had my daughter helping in the kitchen at a young age, you know, 2, 3 years old, baking. And yes, it was messy, and yes, it was a pain, and probably somewhat dangerous, but she never got hurt. But, you know, now she's a great baker. It was just like anything, you want to spend time with your husband, they want to spend time with you. And we didn't have smartphones. I know that's a distraction now, but it is so important just to truly put that away and focus on them. Read a lot. We read and read and read and read a ton of books. But those, now that I look back, it's true, the years are short, the days are long. Those are some of my fondest memories, and I have no regrets, you know, of the time that I put in with them. And I know you were...
Yeah, so I have honestly enjoyed every single stage my kids have been in, except for maybe one. And some of y'all are probably in that stage, the terrible threes.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I really, truly enjoyed every stage. I loved being a stay-at-home mom and just being with my child, holding them and just taking care of them, playing with them so much, reading. I mean, Gwinnett County allows you to check out 75 books mm-hmm. at one time, and trust me, we have maxed that limit so many times because my children just love to read, and I just love to read to them. And I just, you know, going through the stages is, it's like we're trying to teach our children the values, what we value, and we want to teach them to be independent. And so I think of the, you know, I think of, you know, dressing a child. When they're an infant, you have to do everything for them. You're picking out the outfit in the store, purchasing it, bringing it home, washing it. You're folding it, put it in the drawer, and then when it's time to put it on the baby, you put it on the baby. You have to do everything. Put it over their head, put it over each arm, put it in the legs. And then as they get a little bit older, you can just put that shirt over their head. And then you say, reach your arms in, and they reach their arms in, and then you pull it down. Get a little bit older, they can pull it the shirt down. And then you can just say, why don't you put on your shirt? You know, as they're getting older, so you're coaching them along the way as they get older. And that's with everything. Eventually, you know, as they're growing up, we want them to come to the point where they can go to the store and that they can pick out their own outfit. Now, some of those are scary days. And so you have to be that good mom, say no, but oh yes, that's a great one. And then eventually for them to get a job, for them to be able to purchase their own clothes, pick it out, drive to Karen's daughter just got her driver's license. How exciting. And be able to pick out their own clothes. But we're trying to get them to be independent. But during that time, you know, we're investing in them. We are directing them, telling them what to do, and then eventually letting them do more and more. We're trying to, for them to gain their independence. But that's outwardly. Inwardly, what are we trying to do? We're trying to do the opposite. We're trying to show them, hey, we're dependent. We're not independent. We're dependent on the Lord, and we're teaching them God's ways of his grace, and we're hoping that as the days go on that they would see more and more of their sin so that they know that they're more and more dependent on the Lord for redemption.
And we also, I'm going to take a quick break and show a video just to, because you're in the hard, physically demanding hard years, and you're just thinking at the end of the day, I just want to sleep, or I just want, please don't touch me, I'm done. But I just kind of wanted you to kind of almost start with the end in mind in a lot of ways, and I'm sure being around here you hear this, but kind of casting a vision, because when you're doing those dishes or you're changing the dirty diapers or you're doing laundry in the middle of the night because they got sick and you have nothing, and never mind how you look or how you feel, it can be so draining and discouraging because they're not saying thank you, right? They're demanding constantly. And some days you feel like they're just sucking the life out of you, which they probably are. But all that to say, God, this is how, you know, his plan for your life and their lives, but what you're doing, the time you're spending and the home that you're creating is this huge investment in them that, so I want you to start thinking as we're going to watch a funny video, but just kind of the home you want, the home environment you're trying to create so that when they are older, you do have a relationship with them. You do see your grandkids and your daughter-in-law and your son-in-law, and your kids are going to come home and your friends. So, because on those hard days, you want to think, okay, stop. I'm going to do this dish, but this is an act of love and service to my family, and it will come, you know, you will bear fruit from that, even though it's hard and difficult. So cue the John Christ, please, Miss Cindy.
It was a crazy night, man.
It was insane. It was great. I can't believe that.
I just posted all the pictures to Facebook.
What? Shut up, you didn't tag me, did you?
Yeah.
Dude, no, my youth pastor follows me, man. No, let, Mom, no. Yes. What? No, I'm not drinking. Yeah, okay, we've been on like two dates. But it's just casual. Everything's fine. Yeah, yeah. It's. I know I need to be in a Bible study. Yeah, I'm gonna. I mean, I was. I was there, but I was in the world, but not of it. Yes, Mom, I get it.
So my friend Billy, like, she can't even go out unless she has Coke. Like everywhere.
That's not good. It's bad for your teeth. And think about all that sugar.
Sugar? What do you mean?
Yeah, it's a Coke.
Like cocaine.
You guys ready for this meeting?
God, where's my hairbrush?
The VeggieTales?
What?
Oh, okay.
Why is this funny?
Oh, no. Okay, never mind. It's all right.
So did you watch Harry Potter growing up?
No, bro. Witchcraft.
Aladdin?
Sorcery.
So what did you watch?
VeggieTales?
What's that?
Ah! Son of a biscuit! Ah! Mary and Joseph. Ah, fudge. Gosh.
God is good.
All the time. Got it. You never heard that?
No.
From growing up? God is good all the time. All the time.
Yeah, she's just being real shady. Like, I don't know what to do about it.
I mean, hey, you know, when I don't know what to do about something, what? You know what I ask myself? You see that right there? What would Jesus do? Oh, man, I'm so glad we were finally able to get together.
Yeah, I'm actually having a really good time.
Yeah, I was thinking maybe, like, next week you could, like, meet my parents.
Wait, what?
Yeah, I just thought maybe we could start going to Bible study on Wednesday nights, maybe church every Sunday. What do you think about the name Aaron?
There's a lot happening.
John.
Okay.
Shut up. Is that the new Toby Mac?
Yeah.
Yeah. You love Toby Mac?
Yeah. Oh, I was at the show last year.
You were?
Mm-hmm.
The Long Beach show?
Mm-hmm.
How amazing was that?
It was so good.
So just so that your kids can look back, hopefully not that radical, but to appreciate all that you've done for them through the years, it does help to have a vision. So You want to do that first? Because
which part?
The vision. Since they're all younger moms.
Yeah, we were thinking about it's so important to have that vision where you want your children to be, what you want to be as a parent. And it's so easy to get caught up in the day-to-day, the mundane task, just surviving just this 1 hour, much less 1 day. And it's hard to think down the road. But, you know, I was, as I said, I've loved every stage, except for maybe my daughter's three-year-old stage. That about did me in. But the Lord really used that, because I saw my daughter act out in just the most absurd ways. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, everybody keeps saying, oh, just wait until they're teenagers. Well, oh, you have a teenager? I mean, how many negative things have we heard about when it's related to teenagers? That's all we hear about. I don't think I ever heard really one positive thing. And I was like, I'm dreading the teenage years. If this is how my daughter's acting out at three-year-old, I can't imagine what it's going to be like as a teenager. But God says, don't listen to all that negative stuff. This is your opportunity. This is her natural fleshly self that is living out. And I am calling you, not anybody else. I'm calling you to be her parent. And you can see all this sinful behavior. And I have taught you in my word to instill the word into her so that she can get a new heart. I'm not to change the heart, but I'm to guide her towards God's ways. And I just remember that lesson and just thinking, wow, God has given me an opportunity to see sinful self being lived out. And now I have these 10 years before she hits the teenage years to really invest in her. So hopefully her teenage years are not like her three-year-old years. And I just felt like that was such a blessing. And God really did use that. So during those 10 years of parenting before she got her official teenage year title, I just truly invested. I was being intentional, investing in her, putting the word of God into her and just teaching her about God's ways. And it's made a huge impact. I mean, I could say that both of us have great teenagers. It's not because we are great parents, but God used us and gave us a vision of what we want our children to be like. And therefore, we have this opportunity with them, whether we're a stay-at-home mom or whether we work full-time, because we both had to end up going back to work full-time, broke our hearts. But that was God's plan for us, and we were able to use our time wisely. So now we just want to give y'all the opportunity, just take a few quiet moments. There's blank paper at your tables to write that vision. What does the Lord want y'all to do as far as where you want your children to be? What type of parent do you want to be? What skills and values do you want to instill into your children? So just take a few moments and just write some thoughts down. And if you already have your vision written down, start writing some goals down, you know, of what you want to teach your children.
Everyone had a chance to kind of think through a few ideas. But since it's a smaller group, I thought we could just take some questions of just kind of if someone wants to share their vision or even one of their struggles in terms of how you see it, yourself living it out. Thank you, Cindy.
So it's like, okay, I'm going to have to do this delivery. Oh, I have to figure out what it's for dinner. It's 4 o'clock. So it's being present in my mind so that I can, they know that I'm paying attention to them. Mm-hmm.
So when that happens, what is one thing that you can do to remind yourself to be present?
I start breathing, which sounds silly, but just like I'll take a deep breath and try and let it go. It doesn't always work.
I think when mine were like that, I had to keep saying that phrase of the days are long, but the years are short. Hmm. They're scaling the fireplace.
Yeah.
mountain climbing. They're on the fan. Hang gliding. And he would set a timer. And
look, the fan.
Yeah. And so he. And this is what. And I picked this up from him. Like, just set a 10-minute timer. They don't want a lot of time necessarily. They want just that quality time. So I would go, okay, I'll go play with you for 10 minutes, and then I need to do this mama job. And so I think setting a timer can be a really good thing, because then you won't feel like you're never going to get anything done if I go play. Just set a timer, say, I'll play with 10 minutes. And when it goes off, then you're like, okay, well, I'll play with you again later, but I need to go do something. And they're happy.
Mm-hmm. That's a great idea. Someone over here going to say something? No? Okay.
It is good. I will say it is good to remind yourself the days are long, the years are short. Mm-hmm. Just always when you're feeling like that. Mm-hmm. Okay, but remember, the days are long and the years are short. You do really have to talk to yourself and remind yourself.
And even just having a friend, or, the best thing would be a neighbor who you can call. I know when mine were really little, we lived in Knoxville, and I had a neighbor down the street with a little boy the same age as my youngest son. So, the witching hour, 4 o'clock, 4:30, we would kind of swap kids, or I'd let her bring him over just so she could get a break and get dinner started. And he was a playmate for my kids, so it was easier for me. They were occupied. And that helped both of us to kind of when you're, especially in the winter, you're just having those days you just can't get out of the house, or your husband's working late, you just need a break. That was helpful. Or just someone, even a mother's helper. I had a mother's helper come. She was, a seventh grader, but she knew her way around the kitchen. And sometimes both kids were napping, but I would have her make baby food or just play with Olivia while I could get dinner started. And just, someone else to be there. I never left, but I was at least, I had another set of hands to help kind of manage things. And just, you need a break. I mean, you definitely do. A friend or that you can call on, texting just to kind of give you some encouragement is helpful. I know with the vision, Randy Pope has his, I think it's online, the family values and beliefs of the Pope family. And so I kind of took his and we tweaked them a little bit. But this year I had a teenager make me 2 canvases that we have on either side of the kitchen sink. So she kind of prettied them up, and now we look at them every day. And the first thing people do when they come in our house is start reading those. And they're simple, but, stay in Christian community and just take care of your body and, glorify the Lord, obviously, and just basically show love wherever you go. There are about 8 things. And I wish I'd done it earlier, but at least now, obviously they can read. But, it's just, I'm hoping it's going to sink in with them too, just how to live. And it kind of helps us even say no to things. If it's not part of our vision or our value system, it's easier to kind of say, we can't do that this year because we want to spend time. I mean, I've got 2 years left with my daughter. So what are my next 2 summers going to look like? What trips do we want to take? Or, having that in mind, then I can start saying without feeling guilty, no, I'm not going to do that, because I'm thinking, gosh, in 5 years, they're both going to be gone, and then I can have more time to do more volunteer work or whatever it is that someone's asking me. Does anyone else have a struggle or something that's preventing you from feeling like you can have a vision or kind of
I would encourage y'all, if y'all have the resources to do this, whether it be through a friend or your husband or somebody, but just to be able to get away for even an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, just to sit down with the Lord, just bring a journal and just say, okay, Lord, what is that vision? Help me, you know, map that out so that I can be intentional with my children to invest in them. And just, you know, I remember going off, I haven't been able to, you know, I haven't had a whole lot of resources in our marriage in regards to just getting away. I just, you know, we just haven't. And so, but I do remember I was like, okay, Lord, I really need this time. So I went to my husband and I just said, I just need, you know, 2 hours, just 2 hours to go by a river and just journal, because my kids, they just turned teenagers and I only have so many years, because they say once they start driving, they're pretty much out of the house. Her daughter started driving. My daughter's 16. She has no desire to drive. I'm like, all right, that's good.
Yeah, Emeline took herself to school yesterday. We got it Tuesday morning. She drove to school yesterday and then texted me late in the afternoon. Oh, so I'm taking the dogs for a drive. I went to Ulta. I went to TJ Maxx. I'm like, what? You know, but she was fine. She did it. And she's literally, I swear, she's been wanting to drive since she was 2 years old. She's been a backseat driver her entire life. So this is a big, big thing for her.
Well, and just, you know, spend that time, because I just took a journal and say, okay, if I only had 2 more years, because I'm not even guaranteed for tomorrow, but if I had 2 years, what are the things that I want to invest in my daughter? What are the character traits? What are the life skills, you know, whether it be sewing, whether it be writing a check, whether it be balancing a checkbook, you know, all these things to help her get independent. And what else do I need to instill in her? Does she know how to study the Bible? Is she memorizing scripture? You know, what are the spiritual things, the mental things? What are the things that she needs to learn, like, in regards to school? And all, and I just wrote down things, and then I wrote down, okay, what are certain things that can help me daily to remind myself of these goals? Because it is so easy to forget, let me tell you. So wherever you write it, I would just have it somewhere where you can reference to it a lot, whether it's, you know, your place where you spend time in the Word or at your desk or whatnot, but just to have it out there to remind you, so that you can, again, be intentional with your children. And we're not talking about perfection here, as the saying is going. It's not about perfection. It's about progression, right? Just keep plugging along, going along the right path, because we're all going to mess up. Like, I've had plenty of mess-ups. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I think the Lord just created me so that everybody else feels better about themselves. Because I can just totally mess up. I look at other moms and I'm just like, how in the world? Oh, right here. No. How in the world does she do it? Like, okay, for example, today we're in discipleship group. We've been friends for six years now, I think so.
Something like that.
Anyways, she was saying, oh, yeah, we're going to have, you know, 13 girls over for my daughter's 16-year-old birthday party. And we're like, 13 teenage girls. And then she goes, oh yeah, and I'm gonna make, you know, this blah 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 pasta. And I'm like, I don't even know what that is. Alfredo something something something. And then so one mom goes, oh, you're gonna make the pasta? And I'm thinking, make the pasta? What in the world? And thankfully Karen said, no, I'm not gonna make the pasta. And then I'm thinking, oh, you just get a bag called whatever, Lipton, whatever, and it says Alfredo, and you just pour it in a pot and put tuna in it, and that is tuna Alfredo, and that, if I get that on the table, I feel like I am doing really good. And other people are like, oh my gosh, what in the world? But Karen's like, I'll just make it, and I'm just like, oh, here we go.
But I've come from a family of, my mom bakes. Everything is homemade.
I'm not trying to make it.
No, it's just funny, but...
But I feel like, okay, anytime I compare myself to somebody else, it does harm. You know, either I'm boosting myself up and say, oh my gosh, I'm so much better, thank goodness, or I'm tearing myself down. And I have to remind myself, God made me me. He made me with different skills and abilities, and I am called, again, to be that parent to these two specific kids. He didn't call Karen to be parent to my two kids or you, but he called me, just like he called you to be parent to your kids. And so just embrace that and enjoy that God made you as you, and quit comparing ourselves with everybody else. But if I see that, I should go to the Lord, and I just said, thank you for making Karen like Karen and giving her the gifts and abilities that you've given her, and how she has blessed not only me, but all these other people. Thank you. Continue to bless her and help me in this area. So it's not me comparing and putting myself down, but it's actually lifting her up in prayer, and that God continues to bless her, but also God continue to bless me as well. That was just totally side note. Yeah. I don't know where we went on that one. I don't know.
But that's okay. It's chicken fettuccine Alfredo that she wants to have.
Whatever.
Oh,
he's like, blah, 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 blah.
Does anyone have any more feedback or questions about? I know it's hard as a vision. And I would keep it simple too, very simple. Just like Cheryl said, you can go back and reference it, and obviously it can change over time. But love the Lord, I think, would hopefully be on there, and just making your home welcoming for that. But we were thinking about going through some of the different stages of childhood, so you can get some ideas of connection. But pretty much everyone has preschoolers except Melissa. So I didn't know if is anyone having questions or comments of parenting preschoolers that, oh yeah.
More like perspective through the years. So someone said to me the other day that I was saying that I work part-time because they need me at home, at least some of the time. And they said, oh, well, they'll need you more later, like in reference to maybe going to work later. Mm-hmm.
I think they always need you.
Yeah.
It's just in a different way. You know, I can leave mine right now. When I started working here, it was nice because they could go to school here. So they would just come to my office at the end of the day. I would finish up a few things, and we would go home together. And then I could work a little bit more at home. They need you more to drive them places, but also to coach them along in relationships and schoolwork, navigating social media, navigating friendships, and the whatever extracurricular activities they're going to be doing. So I don't know that it's, I don't spend the time now with my kids that I did when they were little. They're much more obviously independent, and but they still need us. I think it's hard when you're working, if you're working a full day, you have to have some sort of plan for after school time, those couple of hours, because they can obviously get into trouble. If you think of a high schooler being home alone from 3 till 5 or 6, and everyone knows that no one's home at that house, that could be a problem. You plan for those things, have a plan for that. But
I guess I was more thinking I'm still pulled in a million directions now, so I can't imagine the prospect of someone telling me that they're going to need me more in 5 years. That sounds terrifying.
Yeah, I don't think so. Not as physically. It's more of just, I was a latchkey kid. My parents were divorced. So I just didn't want that for my kids. So I was so thankful when I did have to work that I could be here and I could still be with them. We made it work. And my mom lives with us. So they've never been kind of home alone necessarily, although they were this evening. But and they're a lot older now. So I've just kind of arranged it so that someone's around. But I'm not, sitting there side by side with them all the time. I'm doing my thing. They might help me make dinner. They're doing their homework, but we're kind of there together. And then, carpooling, of course, or you can work with other families to figure out rides and things like that. So I don't think that's super true.
But just speaking from, and y'all are a little ahead of me and with me some, but I feel like it changed from, far less physical. Mm-hmm. There's more emotional, mm-hmm. And I'm just kind of entering into that with the 12-year-old, a little bit of the 10-year-old too, but really
And then, like, right now, I feel like I'm in a nice lulling time where I'm not sleep deprived anymore, but that's coming again because they say when they hit the teenage years, just be prepared. They're going to want to come talk to you late at night. And so there's going to be that switch. You're kind of going to go back to, oh, my gosh, it's midnight. Let's go to sleep. But that's when they're going to want to come with their deepest, darkest, you know, I really have this problem or I really want to talk about. And I see that a little bit with my older one. That's when she wants to really open up about stuff is when I go to tuck her in and I'm laying there with her. Then she'll start talking. I'm like, you need to be sleeping. And I have to just kind of let that go. Go, go, tell me, you know, to be available. And that's when you're giving of yourself again in a different way, you know. But
and they really do. They come find you late at night. Even my youngest would come in our room, and it wasn't always deep, dark things. Right. The lights would be off. I'd be in the bed, and I could feel somebody coming right out of the
Yeah.
But they, right, tell me in the morning. Yeah, they do have to talk to you late at night, and it's hard, especially if you do work, because we were up really early because I worked down in Decatur, and I had to get them to school, so to have a brain that could listen at 11 or 11:30.
And thankfully, it's not every night, like you're feeding a newborn. That doesn't stop, but they don't come that often. You know, but that's true. They do come at night, or you just, or if you're in the car looking straight ahead. Boys especially don't want face to face. If you're doing something, they're more likely to start talking.
And I am not a night person whatsoever. I have had sleep issues for years and years, and so I couldn't do that. I mean, I tried to do that where, you know, because I heard, oh, they'll come to you at nighttime. I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, I've been up before 5 o'clock. And by 8 o'clock, I'm done. Like, I want no more people. I want to be by myself. And so I had to train my kids. If you want to talk to your mom, it's before 8 o'clock. And, but that again, that's me. It works for my family. And I just knew, like, I tried to do past then, and when they did talk, and I just found myself just getting so gripey, and I'll be all nice, and finally I'll just snap. And I was like, this is doing a lot more damage for my family than trying to stay up, because it just was. My body just didn't do it. And so now I find those moments. What's going to work for my family? What's going to work for me, my children? And because most people can do this, I'm just, again, one of those people that just couldn't. And, again, it's connecting with them in the car. Because now that they're older, yeah, I would agree that it's not more demanding. Like, they're not going to need you more. They're always going to need you. We're their moms. It just looks differently. And it is more mental as they get older, but you're driving them a lot, so you connect with them in the car. And it's nice because you're not looking at one another, or you're having those, moments where you can just say, let's go grab some breakfast together, or let's go do something together. And again, it's those, you know, where you can set the timer mentally and just say, for an hour, I'm going to just sit down with my daughter and just see how she's doing, talk with her. Because I read not too long ago that as they're teenagers, or probably even before teenagers, most parents talk to their kids and connect with them 20 minutes a day. 20 minutes. And I'm like, wow. And so I started looking at my own life because I thought, you know, I'm connecting with my children pretty well. I have a good relationship with them. And it's true. They said, outside of logistics, where do you got to be? What do we need to do? All this. 20 minutes, that's pretty good. It's pretty good. Yeah. And so I thought, well, that's really what I get, because we do live busy lives. I got to make those 20 minutes count. I got to see where they are. How's their heart? How's school going? What are you struggling with? How can I come alongside and help you? And just make them count, because you don't maybe get the quantity time with them, but you still can get the quality time. And that's what they truly, they long for, both quantity and quality. But if you have to have one or the other, I would go for the quality, because that's what they're going to remember.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, at that age, nature is a great way to show God, because it's tangible. We would did a lot of, you know, walks through the neighborhood. We picked up all these different kinds of leaves. I remember walking through our neighborhood and just leaves are blowing everywhere. We had these huge bags, and we just brought them all home and got a leaf book at the library and tried to identify which kind of trees, and you do the rubbings, flowers, you could plant flowers, you could do the caterpillars, you could order caterpillars that turn into butterflies. That's really fun. We did that, gosh, years. We still like to do it. Because you can see the little caterpillar becoming a cocoon and then becoming a butterfly, and so you can do all sorts of, you know, God is everywhere, but it's so nebulous to them. But anything tangible of his creation, how beautiful it is, we're supposed to care for it. Animals, you know, there are lots of animal farms you can go to without just, not necessarily pets, or even the pet store, all sorts of stuff. The aquarium, any of the nature trails have, we would see tadpoles, you know, on the side with in the spring. Gosh, lightning bugs. I mean, anything along those lines is great for preschoolers. It's a lot of fun.
And I would always try to bring God in the everyday language, just even from the early ages, that God is so much part of my life that, you know, I can relate anything while you're cooking. Hey, this reminds me of the scripture of this. Or did you know that God does this? And so it was just a natural way, whatever we were doing, if you're folding clothes. I mean, not every single time I'm folding clothes
preach
am I
it.
Talking about God. I'm not going to be like the preacher like this, but it is such a part of me that it just comes out. And that's what we ended up doing.
Yeah, and there's a great book. I think it's Donkey That Carried the King. As Easter is approaching, that you could read for years. It tells a story about the kind of the Easter story in a sweet way. And there are a lot of good little, you know, the bookstore here would have some good references too, of just simple. Just keep it simple. You don't have to go into a whole big lecture. They'll get that as they get older and understand more. But just knowing that God loves them, he created them, they're perfect the way they are, you love them, and you're chosen to be their mom and dad, and it gives them a lot of security.
Yeah, keep it short and simple, because they won't listen past, what, 20 seconds? Unless it's a book, you know, or a story that they're telling you. So you do keep it just short and simple.
Catechism. Yeah, in the nursery, we're teaching the catechisms when they're three, from 3 to 5 years old. They'll learn the first 12 at least, so that helps too.
And when they get a little bit older, but even at that age, my kids just love to listen to stories. Like, they would put on CDs, Adventures in Odyssey. Oh, my goodness. That was, like, the worst discipline I could ever give my children, was to take Adventures in Odyssey, and I felt so bad. I'm taking, like, a good thing from them, but they would just balk if I did that. They loved it. And it really did help, because my son is dyslexic. And I really do believe, because he's listened to so many stories, that, you know, even though he struggles with reading and writing, his comprehension is so amazing. But I really do think it's because we did the listening skills as a kid. He didn't have a book, but he was just listening to the story. And then he could narrate the story back to you, which is so important,
mm-hmm.
as we learn at
yeah.
Perimeter School, narrating what you just heard. Like, when you're reading a book, then you can ask your child, what did you hear? And they can narrate the story back. It is a very good skill for them to have as far as a school skill.
And just even the early, I was just kind of looking at my notes, but the early, you know, early to older elementary school years, just constantly giving them a little bit more independence, that shows that you're trusting them, but you also see them as an individual. It just helps that bond, because you can't control. I know we all want to, but we can't really control anything, you know. So just to kind of let them start having some say in things is helpful too, and I think keeps that relationship growing, that you're cheering for them and you're for them and you're kind of seeing, okay, you're, you know, out of these three sneakers, you can, which one pair do you want to buy, or whatever thing, or the sport they want to play, or activity they want to do, helps just continually building that trust and love, that they know you're for them. Because now when we're in the teen years, I want them to know I'm going to mess up. And I got berated the other day for something, but it was done out of love, that I am for my kids. And they know that, you know, they kind of, it wasn't berated. He was just making fun of me. But, you know, that we can have this banter, that they know, okay, mom, maybe I shouldn't have said that, or I embarrass him in front of his friends, but they can kind of laugh about it, knowing that I did it from a pure heart. I didn't mean to. You know, my intention was not to embarrass him, but he's eighth grade, so everything embarrasses him. Yeah. So, as I mentioned earlier, we were thinking people would have older kids, so we had found this, as they get older, there's less directing and more coaching, because I'm trying to raise independent adults. And I think it was Andy Stanley that said it's later, longer. So kind of think, okay, I'm in these years of they're really young, and before you know it, they're going to be launching. And so even with the teenagers, I think of them as young adults, not teenagers. And so as they get older, you have to keep stepping back and kind of letting that line out a little bit more and a little bit more, and coaching them, coming alongside them to help them navigate this world that is very hard. So we had a quick video that kind of gives you a good visual of what that looks like, and then we can talk a little bit more about it.
And now, to honor America and salute the men and women serving our country with our national anthem, please welcome, as voted by you, the fans, our winner of the Toyota Get the Feeling of a Star promotion, Natalie Gilbert.
So proudly we hailed at the stars like stars. Stars like glass gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rockets red glare, and the CNN gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say.
I didn't know who that was. That's thanks to Brian Brown. I'm just going to say I totally took that from him, from a coaching seminar he did. But that was the head basketball coach of a professional league. He also had been a player. So what were some of the things you noticed that she did and then that he did?
She was looking for help.
She looked for help very quickly, didn't she? And what did he do? Yeah, he came right to her. Did he do it for her? Mm-mm. But he had his arm around her, didn't he? There was physical touch of, you know, I'm here. And he never let go. I love that. I thought he never let go of her. And what else did he do? Did you notice the audience started? He did this, get the audience to get everybody else in the room to help, to just cheer her on. And I noticed her voice when I was watching this got stronger at the end. But she just, you know, I think he even messed up some of the words. He can't sing, but he was really coming alongside her and saying with his body language and just the little bit of coaching that I'm for you, I'm here with you, I support you, you can do this. You know, you're strong, you've got this, you have talent. I mean, all those things. And then just giving her that hug and kiss at the end, just that, you know, I think just speaks volumes. And so as parents, it's so easy to just, all right, stop. I'm going to just cut this for you. I'm going to tie your shoe for you. I'll read the book for you. I've got this. Yes, I'll bring your lunch to school again. I know you forgot. And then sometimes you have to take a step back. What am I doing? I don't want to do this when they're 25. I don't want them in my home at 25. I love them dearly, but I hope they're on their own, you know. And it's just so coaching, even I would say even in elementary school, start giving them more and more responsibilities. It makes them more confident, but also I do think deepens your connection because they see that you are for them. You're going to help them. You're not going to just, you know, let them be on their own, but show them how to do something and let them do it as they can learn more and more. They can start to clean. They can do laundry. They can help. You know, my daughter was unloading the dishwasher at 18 months, and then it was fun. But, you know, she still does it today. But just we would do things together. And just those, I think those things just keep you connected and keep that relationship going because you have to have your daily life, right? Did you want to...
I just love that he didn't shame her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he did support her. And so often as parents, we put our identity in our kids, through our kids. And when they fail in front of others, we could go like this. And we could say, well, how could you not? Well, why didn't you? Well, you should have done. And just kind of shame them instead of coming alongside of them again, giving that physical touch, support, encouraging word, help others to encourage the child and help them to excel. You know, that girl knows that she messed up. She's going to remember that the rest of her life. She doesn't need somebody to come alongside of her and just say, well, you really messed that one up. She knows it. And, for him, even though his voice was awful, you know, he it didn't matter. And so even as a parent, like if I see that my child is doing something and it's embarrassing, but if I can come alongside of them and help them through that process, not in a shaming way, but to give that loving support and to know that my child knows that I love them no matter what, you know, no matter what. If they mess up, big time, if they mess up small time, and that they can talk to me about anything, and I'm not going to shame them,
mm-hmm.
but I'm here to support them.
We had been talking about not freaking out, and I think it's even when they're young, it's easy to freak out when they mess up. But sometimes you do have to just take that 3 second, calm down. Don't respond, walk away if you have to, until you can come back and deal with it. You know, obviously if they're not getting hurt, I mean, make sure they're safe, but sometimes you do have to just clear your mind, pray, go back before you can handle a difficult situation to address that you're not going to freak out on them, that they will know that you're there for them. Because, I mean, we've all made mistakes, right? So we have to try to remember that with them, too. They are going to mess up. Just I'll share you the big surprise. They're going to mess up. They'll disappoint you. They might do something really stupid. But in the end, it's your treasure. You want to love them and love them well. So we had some practice scenarios we were going to hand out. Now, these are for older kids, so try to, there's kind of age range, I think 10 to 14 or 16, we were kind of giving some scenarios that you may face or something you may, and they're not all based on our kids, but that you could kind of start, and it might help you just start thinking through, how would I act? What would I say if, you know, my son came home from the pool and said, yeah, so-and-so offered me pot. I'm like, what? What? Well, you live right next door to the pool. Just, you know, families and everything are there, and it's just out there. So to try to maybe look at some of those questions, and the way you want to, and even with your husband, it's just a good skill. And I know through the discipleship program, they do these coaching workshops. But instead of saying, what were you thinking? Why'd you do that? How do you think you're going to pay for that? You're almost answering the questions. The better way to respond, and Jamie, you could probably help a lot with this, would be, you know, how did that make you feel? Tell me more about that. What else could you do? Kind of get them to answer the question. It's not a yes or a no. It's get them thinking and responding. So you can have a discussion, because it may be something you really, you know, you can't help them with, or you really don't even know what to do. And you'll be surprised how they'll respond, and the conversation will keep going in a much more gentle way. And also you'll get a lot more insight into what's really going on. Because a lot of times, too, I think kids act out. It's sort of the sin behind the sin, you know, especially with the middle school years, or I'd say even late elementary, probably by fourth grade, they realize their social pecking order and where they stand, at least what they think. It may not even be true. It's just what they're thinking. And so it could be something as innocuous as, you know, maybe their favorite sweatshirt isn't washed and they're freaking out. You know, you didn't do the laundry. I have nothing to wear. And you're thinking, you're disrespecting me. How dare you speak to me like that? Well, really, if the child is normally not that amped up, something is going on. And so it could be take a step back, you know, something going on today that I didn't know about. Did someone say something to you? Tell me what's so important about this sweatshirt. I mean, it sounds silly, but to them, it's extremely important. And I think that's the other thing we forget is we're out of childhood, but we forget how important, you know, what we think is some little thing is huge to them. You know, maybe it's a lovey that they sleep with now. Later it might be their clothing or what they have for lunch. You don't know what other kids are saying to them that, you know, they might take that in and it's going to come out in a different way. But how they're processing, you know, how the world is seeing them and how they fit and all that. So you can maybe just take a couple of questions on there and talk amongst yourselves at the table for a minute and see if you could come up with a coaching question that you could ask in some of those scenarios. Put me back on. Sounds like there's a lot of good discussion going on, which has been great. So we didn't mean to scare you with some of these scenarios. But I hear we did. Did anyone have any comments or something that stuck out to you, maybe that you all were able to talk about? And if it doesn't, if it's not with one of the scenarios, that's fine. But a big takeaway or something that...
I will say that it did seem like we scared y'all, and I'm so sorry. But I would say that we're not scared. Mm-mm. Would you say that you're scared?
No.
We're not scared because we did invest in our kids, and you have all those years to invest in them. And even if they're already 7 or 9, you still have time to invest in them. And we know that by time, like I was telling them that when my daughter was in 8th grade, she all of a sudden came home and said, this was the beginning of 8th grade year, Mom, I heard in high school that they cuss. And I'm thinking, oh, cuss. You know, we've got a lot of training to do to help you prepare for high school. And so we really did in that 8th grade year help prepare her to get ready for high school. And that's exactly what y'all are doing. Y'all are helping them, preparing them for the next stage. It's just about the next stage, and then the next stage. And now that they're teenagers, I really don't fear a whole lot because they do have that foundation that's so strong and that they can make good decisions. And even when they don't make good decisions, because they're not going to make good decisions all the time, it's okay. Like, I'm here to love them and to support them, and everybody's going to mess up, and I'm to show forgiveness to them and tell them that God forgives them too, but they need to be repentant and show them what that looks like.
And one of the things we were talking about at the back table was about the boy that suddenly didn't want to go to church. And I said, it's usually the sin behind the sin. You know, there's a behavior, but there's usually a reason. When Jake was really little, he was acting out crazy. And we've come to find out we had put new carpet. But because I didn't buy it, it wasn't on my radar. My mom had bought new carpet and gave us just a scrap, and we put it in a closet that they played in. And so he was in this little closet, and we had put up sheetrock so they could color on the walls just in this one area. Well, he was in there all the time. Well, the fumes from the carpet were affecting his behavior. So we thought we had this crazy kid all of a sudden. I'm like, what is going on with him? He's getting punished. And, you know, and then we realized, oh, my goodness, we're basically poisoning him. And with you know, as soon as we took that scrap of carpet out, he was fine, back to his sweet self. So with a child, you know, and it could start hitting at 7 to 10 years old that they don't want to go somewhere, or they're afraid, or they're making up excuses. It's something happened. Someone said something to them, or they're you know, most likely feeling insecure about whatever is going on. And you just start asking those questions to try to get to the heart of what's really happening there. The porn thing, I didn't mean to scare you. That is really prevalent. I'm just going to tell you, it is at a very young age.
For boys,
you
got to
be
girls.
Super careful with what they're allowed to see. But my son learned the F word watching something on YouTube. It was back in the day, like some Lego video at a friend's house. He comes home and said, what's this word? I'm like, oh, okay, great. Let's have a talk. And you have to just say calm, because as soon as you react, they know. And guess what? They're going to say it again because they get a rise out of you. And same thing, my son came home from Christian sleepaway camp, asking me what porn was. And he was 11. And I was just thinking, I'm not ready for this. But I had to sit there. My husband wasn't home. It was just the two of us. And, you know, it's 10:30. I'm tired. And I'm thinking, okay, now I got to have this conversation and explain what it is and why it's so dangerous and all that. And that was one of my founder memories of parenting. But the point being, we've been able to stay close, and we're still close because over these years we've had that good rapport. And the other thing I was thinking too, when they're little, have their friends over. Be the house where you maybe just be the chill mom that you can let the kids run around and be crazy and play, whatever your level of crazy comfort is. But because you want to know their friends, because if you know their friends and who they're choosing to hang out with as they get older, they're more discerning and they get into their groups. When they're little, it's more of a, well, they like to play this game. I like to play this game too, especially boys. They're just buddies, you know. Probably fifth grade, they start becoming better friends in terms of forming more of a relationship and talking more deeper things. And then it just kind of goes from there. And my daughter was kind of late blooming on that part, but just knowing who they hang around, I can kind of know how my son is going to be, if that makes sense. So that's been good too. Just to know, I got to go on a mission trip to Tanzania with my son and two of his friends this summer. And that was awesome, you know, just 10 days and serving over there and being with them. And we hope to do it again, but that's just a fond memory of something we got to do together. Does anyone have more comments or questions? Yeah, Melissa?
All your comments of, you know, letting them mess up, like, and walking them through that. This is a light story, but it was so impactful to me. So I was helping at the beginning of the year, start teaching fourth grade here this year. And one of the teachers, Liz Amore, I had my girls there with me milling around helping, and I am such a control freak that when I'm doing something, I'm like, okay, just let me do it. Just, you know, I'll do it. You go do that. I'll just do this. And I'm trying to get better about that. Well, she had a cabinet thing that needed, a mailbox that needed putting together. So she goes to my Emily, who's 10, says, come here, Emily, come out in the hall. You're going to put this together for me. And I'm like, what? Like, she's going to mess it up. And, you know, and so she had her out there and she said, here's a hammer, here's the instructions, you know, I think you can do this. And that was such an eye-opening thing for me. And like, she just trusted my daughter, who she has no idea what she can do or not. And I know what she can do. And I would have really hesitated to let her put my mailbox together because I want it to be just right, you know. And so she let them, and then my older one, 12-year-old, came in and she helped as well. But so in the process, and they're having to hammer, you know, there's like these little nails they're hammering in there. And I'm just, the whole time I'm like, wow, I have not given my children a chance, you know, and they're putting it together. Well, then in a few minutes after we get a second one going, which is for me, Aunt Ms. Amore comes out, she goes, oh, y'all put the back on the front. Well, look at that. They put the wrong, you know, so the openings and all that. And I, like, if we'd been at home doing that, I would have been like, you just messed up the mailbox, you know. She's like, no problem, we'll just pop that thing off of there and we'll just put it on the back. And it was such a great learning. Give your kids a chance. Like, I'm just saying that to say, yes, they will fail. But it was such a learning experience to me of give them the chance. If you don't give them the opportunity to help you and to step in there and do, you know, so I've learned, I'm still learning all the time. But even when they're little, like she was saying, mm-hmm. let them unload the dishwasher. Let them make something. Let them, you know, it's not always fun.
It takes twice as long, but
yeah.
It does pay off.
They say that the kids in colleges and having their first jobs, that now they are freaking out because they don't know how to fail. And all of a sudden they find themselves out on their own and they're failing at something and they don't know how to handle it. And so it's important not to always come to the rescue, but to come alongside of them. And just like Miss Amore said, hey, you put the front on the back. Well, we can just do this. So you're here still supporting and coaching them, but still allowing them to learn from it and be positive. But
yeah, I just think it builds confidence and skills. And, you know, it just helps with everything. And when you're older, or they're older, because you're not going to age. Let's just be honest. I know. Don't we look so good? But you could come home, they'll make you dinner, you know, or they could cook for you or make you a cookie, make you a cake or whatever. I mean, you want that, I would hope. So even that's kind of what the point of the vision was. Yes, it's messy, but if you're thinking, okay, I want my 18-year-old to go to college and be able to be somewhat self-sufficient, all right, I am going to take the extra 30 minutes and we're going to learn how to bake or we're going to put these Legos together, you know, whatever it is, it kind of helps you to take a step back, reset, and have a purpose for the activity, just so you don't get in that drudgery, because then it's more joyful too, because you just feel like you're contributing, I think, to their vision too, how they're gonna and their lives. I'm very tired. I can't tell. I went on that J-High retreat to Orlando this past weekend, and I have not recovered yet.
Well, we do want to thank y'all for coming, but also, you know, we do know that it's important for y'all to have community, which hopefully y'all have some community, but also if y'all, it's important just to have somebody in your life that's been down further down the road than you, just to kind of help you navigate. And so we would encourage y'all to find that mentor, either through the women's ministry, or they have mentoring ministries, or even if you dare, like maybe us, like we're happy to help with anything.
Oh, yeah, yeah, of course.
She would be much better, but, you know,
no.
I'm also available. But to find that mentor just to really help you think through things that have been someone that's been down the road a little bit further than that you have.